All right, welcome back. Oh, so Brady's on his way to get to his lobotomy. Oh, no, wait, I'm sorry. It's your shoulder they're working on again.
Something like that.
Yeah. So let's talk Lions while you're on the road getting out of Dodge. Between segments, you brought up the one positive about the Lions losing on Sunday, and that's the scenario to try to get them a better position in the draft.
Yeah, no, that was the one really good thing that happened. You had, the New York Giants beat the Dolphins, which means the Giants just have to win one of their last two games. And the good and bad news with that is the Washington Redskins had a lead over Philly late, and the Redskins, before Sunday, had to win one of their last three. They blew the lead. They ended up losing by 10. But they play the Giants. So as long as the Lions lose out, they will hop one of those two teams. And now the Dolphins are the other team they need to hop between the Giants, Redskins, Dolphins. Those are the three teams they need to jump in order to get to number two. The Dolphins play the last place Cincinnati Bengals this week. So if they can beat the Bengals, again, assuming the Lions went out and don't pull one out of nowhere against Denver. So you're going to jump potentially two teams this week. And then in week 17, you have to hope either, depending on the result, either the Giants beat Philly or the Redskins beat Dallas, which are both possible. I think I would want the Redskins to beat the Giants because I think the Giants have a better chance of beating Philly than the other option with the Redskins and the Cowboys.
Man, what sad times are these when this is what we're trying to figure out? We're not trying to figure out ways that they can make a playoff spot or win the division.
Yeah.
We're trying to figure out ways they can land the number two pick. You think it's pretty much a foregone conclusion that the Bengals are going to take Burrows out of LSU,
yep,
the quarterback, that I wouldn't mind falling to number two to the Lions. So at number two, the obvious pick that everybody is talking about is Young out of Ohio State.
Yeah, I mean, Chase Young has been, I mean, he was a Heisman finalist. You don't get too many of those that come into the NFL, the defensive Heisman finalist. Looking at that, I was talking to you, if the number that classic chime, and see Roger Goodell walk across the stage and go, with the number two pick in the 2020 NFL draft, the Detroit Lions select Tua Tagovailoa, quarterback, Alabama, I would not be upset. You can sit him, the injury concern, you can get him time to heal. The reports are all saying it's going to heal completely. Still let Matt Stafford be your quarterback, but then do what they did in Kansas City. Let Alex Smith play and then put Patrick Mahomes in. Let Matt Stafford play, and then you can trade him in the next offseason when his cap hit is significantly lower and Tua has had time to recover. But if they take Chase Young, you can't be mad at that. He might be the best overall player in the draft.
So in this scenario, well, I guess my real question is we all think Matthew Stafford will be well enough to play again next year and that this injury isn't going to be a lingering thing. But on
well,
the other,
you heard reports that they were checking out quarterbacks last year. That there was an attempt to trade for Case Keenum, so they were concerned about the back going into this year. So I think it's a legitimate concern and a legitimate possibility.
So how long or how much more do you think they can get from Matthew Stafford? And at what point down the road here, is it one season? Is it two seasons? Is it three seasons that they absolutely have to have the next guy ready to come in?
I mean, this quarterback class is really good. You have, I think, four or five first-round talents. You have Joe Burrow, you have Tua, Jalen Hurts, you have Justin Herbert, and then you have a bunch of second-tier guys that, while if I'm getting my next quarterback, I'm using my first-round pick on him, especially when it's in the top five. But if they don't take, let's say they take the corner out of Ohio State, or they end up getting Chase Young, whatever, you need to take a guy with at least a capable backup this year. You cannot go into the 2020 season and not have a backup that at least can keep you afloat. I mean, look at Ryan Tannehill in Tennessee saving their season. You had Teddy Bridgewater in New Orleans, kept the Saints afloat while Drew Brees was out, and the Steelers are on their third-string quarterback, and look at the turnaround they had. Losing the quarterback is not an excuse in the NFL today, and it's been proven time and time again this season alone. So I don't want to hear the excuse that, well, Matthew Stafford was out, and we had to put in Jeff Driscoll or David Blough. Well, you know why you had to put him in? Because the regime did not address it during the offseason.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you 100% on that. The fact that they don't have a capable backup or a capable third-string guy is their own fault.
Right. But you can't go, oh, well, it's not like they inherited the situation, and Matt Stafford can certainly go, oh, well, we don't have anyone. Well, you didn't go out and buy extra ingredients. If you buy onions and they're spoiled, and you go, well, we don't have any extra onions, you didn't buy any extra onions. You don't can't complain.
Yeah, no, the last legit backup they had here was Hill.
Yeah, who's a very good backup.
Yeah, but think about it. For years, they've settled with Orlovsky. You can't win with Orlovsky. Matt Castles last year, he was done. You can't win with those guys. And this year, the guys that they had play in the preseason, none of them even made it to the regular season. They all got cut.
No, and they've tried a couple times. They drafted Brad Kaya in the fifth or sixth round last year or a couple years ago. But you got to put a legitimate resource into that quarterback room. And obviously, I don't have the medical details. I'm not privy to that knowledge. You're not privy to that knowledge. But this is the second straight year Matt Stafford has had back issues, and it's gotten worse. And on the wrong side of 30, Dennis, drafting a quarterback at number two, even if he doesn't play next year, I think might be the move. Again, you can't be mad if they draft Chase Young. That's not what I'm saying. But the Matthew Stafford era, the 2010s, is coming to an end. And it's a matter of, are you going to end it now, or are you going to drag it out and hope you can squeeze a little more juice out of him?
Yeah. And we were talking about his legacy, I guess, is the way we'll phrase it. He's statistically pleasing as a quarterback. Mm-hmm. Like, his numbers are really nice. But in terms of wins, and big wins and playoff wins, it just doesn't look good or feel good when we talk about Matthew Stafford. But you will have those people that will argue for him that he's an elite just because the numbers say he's an elite. But in my mind, he never has been, Brady. And I'm not blaming him for all of the Lions' faults.
And it's not fair to say, well, the reason why the Lions didn't win a playoff game the last 10 years was because of only Matthew Stafford.
No, but he is part of it.
Yes, he was a part of it. And when you're the quarterback taking that high, we were expecting eliteness, culture changing. And, all right, when I say this, I'm not saying Matthew Stafford does not care about winning. I'm not saying he doesn't try to win. But if you look at those elite of elite athletes, you look at Aaron Rodgers, you look at Ray Lewis, you look at Kobe Bryant, you look at Brad Marchand, you look at any of those guys that have won multiple titles, they have something wrong in their brain to where they cannot handle losing. It just does not compute, and it drives them crazy. And it's great on the football field, wherever. And I don't think Matthew Stafford has that short circuit in his brain to where when he loses, he lays in bed for 4 hours with his eyes wide open and then gets up and goes to work the next day saying, I cannot lose. And again, not saying he's not a competitor, because there's a normal drive for a player to have that, you know, they still really want to win. They still are disappointed and upset when they lose. But those elite-level athletes, those best of the best, have that tick to where it's the only thing they can think about, and their entire life revolves around it.
Yeah, it's almost like an addiction. But let me ask you this one, too, though, and is there any legitimacy to this, that maybe when he came to the Lions out of college, he had that? And
well,
being in the
that.
Lions, you know, the, I mean, the This franchise has found a way for 60 years to disappoint. Does that wear on a guy at a certain point?
I don't disagree with the premise. But look at the last year Matthew Stafford was at Georgia. He had the number one team in the preseason. No Sean Moreno was his quarterback. I believe he had a young A.J. Green on that team. That team was stacked, and they went 9-3. They lost three games that year. So there's evidence of that in college as long as it goes along with the evidence in the pros.
All right. Last thought on what the Lions, other than lose, what the Lions need to do these last 2 weeks?
Lose, I mean, if I'm sure they're already decided if Patricia and Quinn are coming back. There's no way these last 2 weeks have an influence. So if they're coming back, then I'm going to do exactly what Quinn and Patricia are doing. Marvin Jones, you sit out. Kerryon Johnson, you sit out. Matt Stafford, you sit out. Joe Dahl, you sit out. And I'm going to go, all right, let's see if these practice squad guys have anything. Pull all these guys up and go, let's get some game film on them. Let's get real live games that matter, count in the standings film on them, and help evaluate next year, because that's all you really can do. And also, you're going to lose the games anyway. At least try to do something for next year. You start preparing for 2020 2 weeks ago, let alone right now.
All right, last question. You can only fire one. Do you fire Patricia, or do you fire Jeff Blashill?
Oh, Jeff Blashill?
Yeah.
Right now or at the end of their season?
You're the GM, so you can decide if you want to do it right now, if you want to wait. But who loses their job? Who's not back working for you next year?
I'm going to go with Matt Patricia, and here's why. I believe Jeff Blashill has been handicapped by a bad roster for a few years. When Matt Patricia came in, Bob Quinn explicitly told us this team is better than 9-7. They have proceeded to win 9 games in the 29 games since that statement. That's why he is gone. The Red Wings, we knew were going to be bad. They're just a lot worse than we thought. And I do think Jeff Blashill, if given a good team, would at least keep them at the level they're supposed to be at. And I do not see that with Matt Patricia.
All right. Good stuff. Thanks, as always, Brady.
No problem. Anytime, Stucky.
All right. We got Pistons basketball coming up next here on WPHM. So that's going to be the end of today's show. But I'm back tomorrow from 5 until 6 for another edition of the Dennis Stucky Show here on WPHM.